Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul.
And I'm Steve Hunt. And today we'll be talking about Valley Performing Arts' upcoming season.
And here to talk about it, we have Larry Botchin and Gary Forrester. And Larry, you're the assistant director?
I'm the artistic director of the Valley Performing Arts.
And Gary, you are?
The executive director.
Okay. And so what are you going to do this season?
Well, we've got a great lineup of shows we think is going to have a great general appeal to our audiences in the Valley. We've got musicals, we've got murder, we've got farce, we've got singing, we've got dancing, we've got something for everybody.
It's not a funny thing happening on the way to the Forum, though, a comedy tonight.
Not quite yet, but you know, that's a show I'd love to be able to do sometime. I love that show. I love the saying.
It sounds like you're about
nothing
to
like Zero Mostel,
exactly,
you know.
Yeah.
Like
it sounds like you're about breaking that opening song there. Well, tell us about your opening show, Brigadoon.
Gary, why don't you start with Brigadoon?
All right, Brigadoon, beloved show by Lerner Lowe. The story is one that everybody knows if they've seen the Gene Kelly movie and Van Johnson, but it's a story about two men from New York get lost in the highlands of Scotland, happen upon a small town called Brigadoon that appears out of the mist once every 100 years and only for a day. And the different conversations, interactions that they have with the people and townsfolk, and it's reflective of what do we have today versus what's the attraction for remaining there. And it's a musical song and dance, and it's going to have men in kilts, and it's going to have a sword dance, and just it's a lot of fun. I'm excited about it coming on.
I saw it on Broadway when it first came out, and I'm really seriously going to grab my son-in-law and make him come into town and get me and take me out to watch it because I love it.
Well, it's a good show. It's always interesting whenever people compare Broadway shows to what's always for on the movie screen. The stage productions are always different from the movie because there's only so many things you can do in the movie with a certain lot of time, mm-hmm. but the Broadway shows are always so much, the stage productions, the live actions are always, in my mind, superior to a movie.
Well, that's why I'm on Stage Talk, because I believe that wholeheartedly.
Me too. I also believe that the theater version of plays versus the movie version of plays often. It gets the audience right there involved, and I know your theater always involves the audience very much in your productions.
Yes.
You've got kind of a reputation of creating these great sets and costumes and things up there. Are you doing anything special for Brigadoon?
There are five families represented in Brigadoon, so you're going to have five different tartans or plaids represented there, plus the cast. And it's going to be updated a little bit to modern day, and I don't want to give away some of the tweaks that the director Grant Olson is putting into it. But it'll be exciting to see. There'll be enough of the modern and enough of the traditional Brigadoon that people will really enjoy seeing it.
And we've also got ourselves a new fog machine, which should really be fun because if Brigadoon is anything, there's a lot of fog,
a lot of mist.
Right. So we're looking forward to playing with that new piece of special effect.
Oh, what fun!
Well, let's go from Scotland to the Nile. Your next show
Murder on the Nile, right. Agatha Christie. People in the Valley love Agatha Christie shows. We've done several of them in the past, and never have they failed to attract and hold an audience. This one's going to be no different, directed by Dave Newfer. This is the second time out of the chute for a director for us, and we're looking forward to taking you folks down the Nile. I'm not going to be having the typical Hercule Poirot character this time, but when she takes the book version to the stage version, she brings in another character. This one's Canon Pennyfather. He plays an equally interesting character in terms of delving into the story and finding out who did what and when and where. Mm-hmm. Should be a great story.
You know, you mentioned the difference between movies and plays, and Agatha Christie, of course, wrote her plays that have been turned into movies and so forth. So it's nice to see that this you're portraying this on the stage with the audience right there trying to figure out who done it rather than the separation of the screen.
There's so much to be said for proximity, too. In many theaters, there's a great distance between yourself and the actors. And here at the Valley Performing Arts, we have such great proximity to our actors. That one of the things that people often point out to us at one of the differences between such as an event or a venue such as the PAC versus the Valley Performing Arts is being physically close to the actors. You can see the expression. You can see the sweat on the brow. It makes for a great experience.
Well, most of the theaters in Anchorage are like that. in Anchorage and vicinity are like that, and that's what I love about them, is this sense of being part of the play.
Right, you can actually sort of mm-hmm. see the actors sweating in front of you. Mm-hmm. And your Christmas show is one of those classic stories. Tell us about that.
Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, directed by Julie McCartney. It's based on the newspaper story that was written in the late 1800s, a letter written by a young lady named Virginia just asking, is there still a Santa Claus? It deals with the family relationships there, most particularly her father, as they deal with the daily strife, but also trying to catch hold of that magical moment and the magical ideas of just what is Christmas? You know, what's involved in Christmas and giving to each other and being part of community? It's an interesting take because you see both sides of it. You see the newspaperman side of it as he's writing the story, and then you see the aspects of Virginia and her family and their father as they deal with what they're dealing with on a daily basis, and the ultimate culmination of, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, and how is it exhibited? Through the wonderful human nature and the open heart. It's going to be a really good show.
Excellent.
Now, your next show, the Dixie Swim Club, I have to confess I'm not familiar with that show, but it sounds fascinating. Tell us about that show.
One of the reasons why we selected that show is because our venue largely has a demographic comprised of approximately 60 to 70% women. And so we've made an effort to be able to really aim some of the shows we have towards interests of women. Hence, we chose the Dixie Swim Club. Dixie Swim Club is a story about five young ladies who swam together in high school, and they meet once a year at this beach house where they share what's been happening to them in recent years. It's a really heartwarming story. It takes them through many years, many of the trials that all of us face, but most particularly women in terms of relationships, and there is an issue regarding health and cancer, and one person doesn't make it through the whole last time they get together. So it's very, very sweet, very heartbreaking at the end, but every woman out there will really enjoy the show.
That's great. For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests Larry Botchin and Gary Forrester talking about Valley Performing Arts forthcoming season.
Well, the Dixie Swim Club sounds like a very interesting play. It takes place over several years?
Many years.
Lives of these women. So it's a challenge for your actresses to actually play these different ages.
It is. The director is going to be challenged to find a group of women who can actually portray the youth from the early portion of the stage all the way through the elder years. And plus, we will have to have some really great costuming to be able to represent those eras of changing clothes, and also some great makeup artists so that they can show the facial aging of the characters as they go through the show.
What a nice challenge.
It will be. It should really be fun. We're looking forward to this.
Good.
And then your next show is one which almost has become kind of a word associated with goodness, which is Pollyanna, of course. Tell us about Pollyanna.
Pollyanna, the lack for a better term, the eternal optimist.
Exactly. Right.
A young lady who through her life loses both parents and has to go live with an aunt. But it's the contagious positive feelings that she exudes as she encounters everybody in the community where she goes to live. You know, basically taking the promise of her father that everything has a good turn to it. There's always a silver lining, and never willing to be defeated, never willing to look at the dark side, but always looking at the light side, and the different people that she meets that live in the small community where her aunt lives, where she's gone to meet. You know, everybody seems to remember the Haley Mills Disney version.
Right, right.
It'll be like that, but it'll be enough of a refreshing part of it to see it on stage. That people will really enjoy the show. It's a feel-good family show that you'll just walk away, you know, with heart palpitations, being just like, oh, I'm glad I went and saw that.
Well, I'll leave humming the optimism.
That's right.
Right. And your next show in the season is a show which The Marvelous Wonderette, which is being performed right now in Anchorage, but you chose to use it for your season at the Valley Performing Arts. Tell us about that show. We've already talked about it somewhat on this show, but tell us about why you were choosing that show and how your approach is going to be to that show.
Well, that's a four-woman show. And if you've are familiar with Dan Goggins' successful Nonsense series, I kind of refer to this as Nonsense in the Gym. It is four young high school ladies that have to fill in for the act that didn't show up for their senior prom, which takes place in the late 1950s. That's Act One. And Act Two takes place 10 years later at their high school reunion, and it's all 60s music. It's just a great time, toe-tapping fun, reminiscing about the 50s and 60s through music. There'll be enough things in it involved with people identifying, talking about boyfriends and crushes on teachers and dance music, and just having what I call a kind of a rundown memory lane. It'll be a lot of fun.
Having just seen it in Anchorage, it's actually an opera.
There's so much music.
It's the story told through music.
I selected the show based upon the popularity of almost like the male version. Forever Plaid has been around for quite a while, and I don't know for a fact that The Marvelous Wonderettes is a spin from Forever Plaid, but I rather suspect so. We have a shortage of male singers with the time available to do Forever Plaid. Otherwise, we'd like to be able to do that, but we chose Walrus Wonderess because we have that talent available.
Larry and Gary, we have less than a minute left. Just talk very briefly about your last show, See How They Run.
See How They Run is a great farce. It's a British farce. It's got every kind of character situation that you can find in a farce. Interesting enough, we've also done two other shows with the word run on them. Run for Your Life, and it runs in the family, and now we're going to do See How They Run. So you can't miss this one. It should be great fun. Mistaken Identities, all that kind of stuff.
That's an Agatha Christie, takeoff. However, we're running out of time, so I want to thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Larry Botchin and Gary Forrester from Valley Performing Arts.
And now, here's a Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to the community calendar on alaskapublic.org.
At Mad Myrna's, it's the last weekend to see Hollywood Harlots and Starlets. This play is suitable for adults only. Performances on Saturday, July 27th at 9 o'clock. For tickets, call 276-4762.
It's also the last weekend to see, at Community Theater, The Marvelous Wonderettes, created by Jack Bean and directed by David Block, running through July 28th. Performances are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening at 7 and Sunday at 3. Tickets are available at actalaska.org or call 868-4913.
And another last weekend over at Cyrano's, it's Title of Show, a musical about two guys trying to write a musical about two guys trying to write a musical. Showtimes are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 3. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
In Seward, there's an audition call for Port City Players' Halloween production of A Night with Edgar Allan Poe. July 30th and 31st are the auditions at 7 p.m. at the Resurrect Art Coffee House. Rehearsals will be flexible with your schedule. For more information, call Hank at 362-1839 or email hawaiihank@gmail.com.
And up in Talkeetna, you can see Life at the End of the Road, continuing until August the 26th. It's a comical improv, sometimes a musical, look at everyday life in small-town Alaska, produced by Denali Drama. Performances are Sundays at 3:30 and at 6, and Mondays at 6. There will be occasional showings as well. For tickets and information, go to info@denaliartscouncil.org. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Steve Hunt.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.